Hello, and welcome back to All Good in the Brotherhood. I am Brother Francisco Whitaker, and I'm joined not by both brothers, but by the, what, are you the good, right? That's what we established last time. I don't know.
Yeah, the good brother and the faster brother, I think, too.
Okay. Well, we'll see about that one.
I think we've established that as well.
Anyways, so on the phone with me today is my brother Tom, calling in from the great and wonderful state of West Virginia. As Philip reminds me frequently, Uncle Sam, I live in West Virginia now. I don't live in Pittsburgh. he's embracing his identity as a West Virginian, which is pretty cool.
He is pretty excited about it, and he'll it's funny hearing him and Gemma say we're ton.
Yeah,
like they hit the ton really hard. We're ton.
That's cute.
They like their new town.
It's a good town.
Yeah, I mean, you gotta love those abandoned steel towns.
Yes,
of the Midwest. Technically, I don't know, I guess I'd say West Virginia, where we're at, is pretty much Midwest. PA definitely has some East Coast vibes, but I think Pennsylvania also kind of splits the gap there somewhere.
That's
culturally becomes
an interesting hot button topic of conversation here at the monastery. What constitutes Midwest? Brother Finbar's from New Jersey will like argue definitively that Pennsylvania is part of the Midwest, and I say no, it starts at Ohio. But anyways, not to derail that, Happy New Year, everyone. I hope you had a good festivities and that your New Year's resolutions, as we are on day two, haven't fallen by the wayside yet. Just give it next week. I always find it fun. I call them the resoluters when they're in the gym. Like the first 2 weeks of the new year, they're like, yeah, I'm going to get a pump, you know, I'm going to really work out this year. And by like third week of January, they're nowhere to be found.
Mm-hmm. That's great. I don't know if you're putting like the emphasis on the word looters, but I feel like that's apt because you walk in the gym and it feels like all of the racks or all of the key equipment have been looted, and they're just sort of all over the place. Plates are not where they're supposed to be.
Yep.
Yeah. All the fun stuff. So yeah, but happy New Year, everybody.
Indeed.
2025, that just like,
it doesn't sounds crazy.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like a real year. It sounds like something you'd expect on like a product like PlayStation 2025 or something like that.
Brought to a store near you.
So, wow.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's our calendar year. And we actually are celebrating a special year in the church this year. A jubilee year, which occurs every 25 years. So the last one like this we had was at the beginning of the new millennium, 2000. That was under Pope John Paul II. And Pope Francis, on Christmas Eve, opened up the doors of St. Peter's to begin the new jubilee year as the year of hope, which I thought pretty dope. Hope is something that we desperately need. But I thought maybe that would be our point of conversation, is just to talk a little bit about hope. And what brings us hope, how to combat the opposite, which is despair. And what are some tools maybe someone who might be in a really challenging spot as this new year starts, really thinking like, here we go, another year. There's no hope out there for me. And like, why do I even bother? Could you give you some words? So first, I'll ask you, Tom, why do you think that of all of the things that Pope Francis could have named this jubilee year, they only come around every quarter of a century, so it's not like, you know, we have a ton of them. Why would he, do you think, he would pick hope, and why do we need it especially?
Yeah, well for starters, it's always a good marketing move, always a good smart branding move to just to hit those remarkable years with something exciting like Jubilee. I remember Jubilee 2000, which you were still young enough, Sam. You might, or Brother Francisco, you might remember what that looked like. But I remember Jubilee 2000 when we were still living in California, and there was this really funny video that Mom put on one time. It had a bunch of people singing. It was like this big praise thing. I think it had some pretty strong roots in sort of the charismatic movement,
sure,
at least the video we were watching. I'm not sure I could say that that's what the current year of Jubilee is intended to be associated with or not. But anyway, Yeah, it's always a good move to sort of bring that out. But no, in a more realistically, I think it comes at a good time. And for again, the Holy Father is the father of us all, of the whole world, the father of the whole world in a way. And not that this is necessarily a new time in history where the world is somehow hurting more or less or whatever, but it's definitely hurting uniquely. All the conflicts in Israel, in Ukraine, just conflicts across the globe, the aftermath in some ways, if you will, of kind of an election year in the US where you have so much polarization, so much animosity being exchanged at points from various sides, various persons. So it seems like, and that's obviously a very US thing, but it's sort of indicative of kind of across the world where we're at. There's just such a state of affairs that are inherently kind of violent and position us against each other in ways that are violent, not necessarily physically, but at least emotionally, and socially. Of course, you have the ongoing struggles, across the world with abortion, across the world with mental health issues and struggles with abuse and addiction. So sometimes a good spark to sort of break the chains, or at least loosen the chains, especially for many people, is just to remind them that there is hope, and not to just kind of, like you said, fall into despair at these are the dark times that we live in, and then sort of be with that, kind of like, some of the epic scenes at the end of the Two Towers,
Dude,
where
you literally are on where I'm thinking. This is awesome.
where Théoden says, what can men do against such reckless hate? And of course, soon to be returning King Aragorn, provides that spark, that glimpse. And it's not even necessarily with that idea that, like, we're going to overcome all of this. In fact, they ride out with this kind of fairly certain idea that they're probably riding out to their deaths, but they still do it. So I think we need that hope. What better year than 2025? Rolls off the tongue nicely, Jubilee of 2025,
It does, it does.
and
It's like it's
and
planned.
again, just in a world which is definitely hurting for many different evils, pornography, war, whatever, not to sound too much like a kind of a peacemaker from hippie, but we are called blessed are the peacemakers. So, if hope is a weapon to getting us to peace, then let's use it. So what about you? What about you, Brother Francisco? What do you why do you think it's the Jubilee year of 2025?
Well, first of all, just on the Two Towers image, I was thinking earlier in the Siege of Helm's Deep, Aragorn, it's the like I think the siege is at night, right? Or they're about to start the siege. And he's talking to that one young boy, and he's like, "Give me your sword, you know." And then he, I think his name's like Hommel or whatever. And he says, you know, the men says, "We won't survive through the night. They say that there's no hope." And then Aragorn says, like, "There is always hope." And
Super true.
that's something that, like, sometimes I just tell myself is like, there is always hope. Even if I don't see it, even if I don't necessarily believe it, there is somewhere always a reason to hope. And I think the reason, similar to what you're saying, but the symbol for hope in Christianity is the anchor. And you know, if the church is the image of a ship, then the anchor is what like keeps it afloat or keeps it in its place, stable, you know, in the midst of all the storms and all the waves going around. And if we don't, you know, put our anchor of hope down, then the likelihood that we will be tossed around, like St. Paul says, by every wave of human trickery arising out of deceit, then like what do we expect but the world that we have around us that's, you know, been created? So a call to hope is like a call to like put your anchor back down in something. Find stability. And the only thing that we can find stability in is Christ, because only He is the constant in our life. So yeah, to me, it's also like a call to like be stable again, and to like wait to throw out your anchor, rather than like whatever you've been throwing out as like a means to hold you down, but it hasn't gotten you anywhere.
Yeah. Yeah. That's so true. And because we do throw out anchors, you know. So that's interesting. We do tend to latch onto things. And when we latch onto earthly things or worldly things, they may even kind of give us that perception of stability for some period of time. You know, I've often thought about exercise, which I obviously even think is like a pretty key component of God's plan for our health, is to exercise our bodies, you know, not just, you know, to get, you know, a certain type of shape or a certain type of level of fitness or whatever, but that we're kind of intent, we're certainly not intended to just sort of sit on the couch all day. It seems pretty against what, but it's funny how like I know in the past I'll sometimes latch onto that as like, that's my anchor for the day. Like, I just got to get a workout in, you know, and that'll be good. And if there's there, and some of that is biological, you know, you have the endorphins and all that other stuff that gets involved there. But we do tend to throw out anchors, and they're not always in the things that ultimately are going to actually satisfy. Again, and they may give us a fix. We've certainly talked in the past about, you know, like pornography and other, the, you know, struggles like that, which we sometimes tell ourselves are going to kind of give us what we need, this idea of what we need. But they never fully do, or they just kind of tide us over until we need the next fix, and it's not lasting and it's not true.
And yeah,
So
like
yeah.
also an anchor takes a minute to sink, right? Or like sometimes it also is meant to like hold on to something, right? And we want whatever it is to like immediately secure us. And we don't like the process of the anchor going down, because that takes time. So whatever it is we throw out, we want it to be like an instant fix. So that growing in hope, or I think hope is directly related to trust too. So growing in the trust of all the promises that Christ has given us, that he will take care of things, that things will be well, that he will bring us joy, and that all the Beatitudes are in fact going to be true for us if we believe in him. It takes a while for that anchor to sink, and we often like pull it back or cut it off or don't believe that it's actually doing its job until it hits the bottom. So yeah, really like spending time in that. Okay, cool. Appreciate that. I was hoping then, if we're talking about hope, we shouldn't be abstract, because we don't just receive hope in abstractness. Like, we have to talk about things and they're transcendental, but we only experience the transcendental things like subjectively. So I thought first, I would read like the catechism slash multiple different documents compiled together, like their definition of the opposite of hope, which is despair, and how we have experienced, whether you want to talk about moments of despair or not, but have you experienced in those moments things that have actually given you hope and brought you out of them? So, like, share a little bit of a tangible experience, and then hopefully someone listening or watching can gain something from that, but then also like an encouraging word. So, I'll start real quick by what we define as despair. Despair is, and this is interesting, this is the right off the bat, despair is a mortal sin that involves the complete and voluntary abandonment of hope for salvation. It is to be distinguished from a passive state of mind where you feel that there is a lack of hope, but rather a choice of the will to no longer believe that you are A, forgivable, lovable, that your human nature is incompatible in cooperation with God, and that God has cast you aside and no longer wants to be your father. Yeah, that's like crazy. It's considered like a sin or a state against the goodness, mercy, and justice of God. And I believe that's kind of often associated with what's called the unforgivable sin, because
Yeah,
the sin
blasphemy
against,
against the Holy Spirit.
which is, people say, like, oh, it cannot be forgiven ever. It's like, well, no, it's not that so much as God cannot forgive what we don't repent. And we can't, he doesn't force himself upon us. He only gives us what we desire. So if we desire his mercy and his love, then he'll give it to us. But if we live in despair and we don't believe we are worthy of those things or we're capable of receiving those things anymore, it's unforgivable because he's not going to make us receive him.
It's holding your hand over the cup. That's what it is, because you say, "Oh, my cup is too dirty to be filled up." So you say, "Don't even try to fill it up, God, because it's too dirty." You know, and you cover it, and he's not going to move the hand. He's not going to say, "Oh, stop being silly." You know, so yeah, it's not that the act of holding the hand over, it's unforgivable if it stays that way. And it's probably it's a dangerous one, because we sometimes trick ourselves into thinking that we actually are doing the right thing by somehow staving off his mercy and staving off his grace. We're sort of like, well,
Like a punishment.
we are sinners, so you know, I should feel this way because I am a sinner, you know, rather than recognizing that what we end up doing again is not actually letting him love us. And yeah, God didn't create robots. He didn't create something that he could just snap his fingers and we'd be like, you know what, you're right. We 100% we're good to go. You know, he gives us that free will to choose to be loved or not. Well, yeah. Well, then to kind of make tangible, like you said, what are some things, you know, some moments? Maybe I'll go into. I think confession is one of those areas where I've felt hope, because, you know, we often we come to confession, you know, with struggles or sins, and even that process feels like, you know, we're encountering a judgment that we that there's no way to sort of get around. We're just going to face judgment. We're going to face judgment if and if a human, you know, sitting there is going to judge us, then why wouldn't God, who's better than a man, you know? Even though, again, priests act in persona Christi in the sacrament of confession, it's you still sit before a tangible man of flesh and blood, and it's easy to kind of feel like, well, if I'm going to face judgment here, which I feel like I will, then why, of course, wouldn't I face it with God? So yeah, I think the first few times of bringing to confession some of the heavier stuff of, you know, growing up were what gave me hope that, you know, one, I'm not alone. And that's, I think, something that I would say a lot of priests I'm very grateful for is giving voice to the thing that I was afraid to believe, which is that I was the only one struggling with this, that, or the other. And not that that should ever give us license or a sense of comfort about, well, it's okay, you know. But what it should do is give us hope, which, you know, in the sense that we are not alone. We are not facing that storm by ourselves. So I think that's, you know, through sacrament of confession is definitely one of those places where you start. You might get a slowly, but like you said, it's not necessarily instantaneous. Even with like the, you know, that first glorious confession where you kind of let things off of your chest, and you kind of clean yourself, dust off your knees of a lot of garbage. Chances are that's probably not going to be the last time you're there for that thing. Not to say that's always the case. Some people, you know, can truly heal from those singular confessions, but it's not always the case. But it gives you that hope, and then you might have to continually anchor yourself to that sacrament, you know, back to your anchor analogy, and not just hope that the first time you throw the anchor overboard, it's going to solve everything. And then another kind of just like interesting example of it's not just about kind of spiritual, but even in this physical world, you can experience that sense of just like kind of despair. And I don't remember if I've given this story before on the podcast, but I remember one time when I was going through, I know I've told you this story, Brother Francisco, but one time when I was going through a training event in the army, we had stayed up the better part of 4.5 days. I think I'd only slept about an hour and a half across 4.5 days. And it was raining, and it was like 40 degrees, and I was just down in a muddy hole with like water up to my shins, just sort of just like lying there. And it was definitely like a very crippling, physically crippling, affecting the spirit and affecting the heart kind of moment of just like just feeling totally devoid of any ability to do anything on my own, you know. And of course that's part of the reasoning for those things. But back to your point about the decision, the active decision to choose to have hope. I remember just intentionally kind of calling to mind the the being in Eucharistic adoration. In this case, it was the time at Family Land, and just having that image just comes so clearly into my mind, and it just gave me such peace and kind of, oh, again, a fairly worldly storm of again physical like challenges and physical pain and everything, but that it. You know, again, that hope is something you can discover that allows you to overcome intense physical, worldly struggles. And I know, again, for people who may be in situations where it's either your job is unbearable or, your family life, whether you're dealing with financial struggles, or you're in school and school is just drowning you. Like, these even worldly struggles are not something that we need to not seek an anchor of hope in our Lord by. He wants us to call upon him for those too, not just the spiritual struggles, like it's not like, oh, this is a worldly thing, God doesn't really care. You sometimes hear people like criticize, say, professional athletes who say like, oh, all for the glory of God. And in some ways, sometimes that stuff gets maybe a little bit showy and a little bit silly at times. But overall, I think it's still a good thing because it's them choosing to recognize that, like even in this the realm of the physical and the secular, we can receive hope, and when we're anchored to Christ, we can overcome, big challenges and big struggles. So yeah, just some examples there I know in my life. But what about you, Brother Francisco? Can you had any good tangible stories or memories or anything of that nature that you can think of?
And just real quick to respond to something you said about, at times, it's like really just like a physical or like emotional thing that's going on, and it's not like obviously spiritual, but Ignatius of Loyola, in his like Rules of Desolation and Consolation, talks about that there are non-spiritual desolations, so like being tired, being hungry, being lonely, all those things that, if they stack or we're in like that place vulnerably physically or emotionally, we're opened up to experience like a higher likelihood of spiritual desolation. So we like to be active in responding, like, okay, I know where I am, like physically, like what you did. It's like, okay, I can't necessarily respond with like getting sleep because that's actually what I need, but I can respond to this with like a recalling a time of spiritual consolation that can at least push against the potential growing of a spiritual desolation that would draw come out of this non-spiritual moment. So that's a really good active thing to be doing, that even if you haven't gotten to that point where you really are in despair, you can probably recognize times in which you're like more likelihood to fall into it just based on what's going on around you. So I just wanted to point out what you did is like a very good Ignatian like spirituality exercise. So good on you, mate. For me, I think two things strike me particularly as far as like situations or things that have brought me out of moments. One was when I was a novice, so I did the novitiate by myself, which at times was actually awesome, because it mean I didn't clash with anyone except for my own head, which is enough for me. But there was also opportunities that people really reached out to me or tried to like be with me because they knew I was like alone or experiencing novitiate by myself. And there were some privileges I got to do that other novices have not gotten to do simply because I was alone. So that was cool. But there was, still the experience of the novitiate by myself, at times was very, isolating and very lonely, where I just really didn't feel like anyone else quite got it. But I was praying at one point, because prayer is like, I mean, prayer is totally essential to every part of our life. But if a novice doesn't pray, like he's gonna leave 100%. So prayer is, kind of what I was holding on to. That was the hope of each day, was my daily prayer. I was like, okay, I know if I can pray, then it will be okay, even if everything else seems kind of crappy. And two moments in that, one time I was like not feeling very well. I was not in a good mood, and I was feeling like just a lot of like the weight of my own sinfulness and the weight of my own past and all this stuff. And I prayed that, like, God, why am I still feeling these things, or why are these things still going on, or why have I still experienced any of these things? And I was kind of losing hope that like I would ever be better. And even as a monk, especially, like, okay, well, I have a monk now, but I don't feel like I'm any better than I was before. Sometimes I feel like I'm a worse person. And I just felt God speak into that moment and be like, well, if you didn't have these things still struggling, still wrestling with, do you believe you would need me? Do you really think you'd believe you'd need me if these things weren't still going on? And for some people, that might be like, well, that sounds cruel of God. But no, that he's like allowing me to still carry things as a as like proof that if I trust in him, like I will always have a reason to hope that things will be better versus relying on myself. That's like an obvious recipe for disaster. But I think even more obviously is I would do a rosary walk as a novice every night. And there was one time probably in like November, around probably the beginning of like the holiday season, where I was starting to miss home a lot and like seeing friends and everything. And I just really felt like a consolation from Mary, actually, which was just every day you pray the rosary is one more day you can stay. Just like the hope that, yes, this novitiate will come to an end, but also that God has given me this time as a special opportunity to grow with him. And that Mary is offering her kind of special motherly help in that regard to grow closer to Christ. And that like that promise, and that's what hope is belief that the promises that are given to us will come to fulfillment. So that experience of hope in that moment where I was feeling kind of like a little bit of despair that like, oh, this year's just going to keep on dragging on. It's going to get worse and worse and worse. I'm going to get more and more unhappy. And that like, it's not going to be as enjoyable or as fruitful as I'm told it would be. But the promise that it can and would be as long as you put a little effort in. And I think that's, so if despair is a consent of the will to choose against the promises, growth in hope, we can't create hope in ourselves because it's a theological virtue, but we can grow in our capacity to receive it more. That also requires a consent of the will. So that's where I kind of, that moment was like, all right, then I am. I mean, I was already planning on doing a rosary, but if I needed any more further evidence, Mary has given it to me, like to hope in it, and in the power of prayer. So yeah, I would say, yeah, I mean, obviously prayer is the fundamental, but community also becomes incredibly important for growth and hope. If you're surrounded by other people, they give you reasons to hope. If you're completely isolated, then eventually, like, it's going to always feel like you're alone, and in loneliness is often where I think despair is bred. And Benedict says, never lose hope, never lose hope in the mercy of God, never despair of the mercy of God. That's like one of his most important lines in the whole rule. And the rule is written for a context of community. So I think he understood like the connection between community and hope.
I was just gonna say, just to like kind of add to something you just said, we can't create hope in ourselves, but I think one thing we can do is stoke it. It's sort of like we can, and that gets back, yeah, it's absolutely the community we surround ourselves in. And what is community? Because for you as a brother and a monk, I think that's something that kind of brings to mind, probably a pretty clear thing, of like, oh, yeah, your community of brothers. For other people, it might be like, well, what is my community? Is it my friend group? Is it, and it, yeah, it's everything. It's kind of your environment. It's the things you take in. It's the music you listen to. It's the social media content that you choose to take in and doom scroll by. Johanna and I have been talking this last year. We're about to try to like actually cut social media out of our lives. We both kind of like kept Instagram, even though we pretty much got rid of everything else, because Instagram is sometimes kind of fun to see like pictures of your friends
Sure,
and stuff like
yeah.
that. But even that has just gotten it's a doom scrolling
Yeah,
place.
it
And
is, dude.
we've recognized how much content you inevitably pick up on and you get sucked into that's leads you to despair. It's either, oh my gosh, look at what these crazy people over here are doing. Look what that, wow, look at this, and certainly in this last year of political
Oh,
turmoil, like
yeah.
it's easy to like pull open Instagram or name your social media, and rather than sort of get kind of fired up like, wow, look at these cool things that people are doing. Look at these beautiful things. It's, oh man, I'm mad or I'm angry or like, look, we go to places that are darker and heavier and angrier. And they do anything but lead us into hope. So community for some people, yeah, maybe a religious community, maybe your friend group, maybe the content that you take in. And just recognize that like that can either stoke despair or stoke, hope in you. And generally good wholesome friendships centered on Christ are going to stoke hope. I think of how like, just some of the good friendships I have, our sibling relationships like get me through tough times, and even now like on the on the days where you're like, ah, like this is just too much, like
You're right,
you just know you have. You're not alone, and that is something that gives us a lot of hope, I think. So yeah, just remembering that too, that what we surround ourselves with is what's going to stoke hope or despair. And then just one truth, one truth that I think is like, and again, this is even part of like the voices that we'll hear, as we surround ourselves with these communities. But I think one truth to hold on to is, yeah, that like nothing. Nothing is greater than God. There's nothing that he cannot overcome, no mountain too high, no ocean too, like, and some people kind of tease some of the praise and worship songs, and then I'm obviously like some good, classic kind of Latin hymns, but if you need to listen to music these days, and if it's a part of your life to kind of listen to something, whether it's exercising, listen to anthems that give you hope. Listen to things that inspire you. Don't listen to things that make you angry, and again, music's just one aspect of our lives, but I think that's it has a big impact, the shows, the music, the stuff that we intake. So listen to the things that proclaim the truth of God's greatness and his mercy.
Yeah, 'cause if you look for it, then you'll find it. If you look for reasons that will give you hope, you'll find them. And also just kind of something like I'm hearing in a lot of what you're saying, is like the necessity for connection. And like that's why like social media, and you're talking about that, is so, like conniving, is it gives you like this impression. Like you say, oh, see pictures from like friends and family. It gives us like impression that you're like connected or you like know what's going on in your life, but you have no freaking clue. Like what their edited lifestyle looks like, but you don't really know what they are up to or how they're feeling, what they're going through, what's up with them. And then, spend too much time on this false connection. When you get off, you feel really stupid. And you feel like I just wasted so much time. And like I sort of was connecting with people. I was kind of trying to catch up with friends, but I really spent most of the time doing things that like were like consoling me, or like, I mean, I'd like tell people like, oh, well, if you look at my Instagram feed, it's just like basically rugby and volleyball. Which is nothing wrong with those, but who cares? Like, there's nothing I'm really being edified or learning by just watching people spike the ball or pass the rugby, versus true connection. And whether it's connection with others, or it's not whether it's connection both with others and with God, daily. So that I heard like HOPE as an acronym of having others and praying every day. Because if you have others around you and you're praying every day, you're making a constant connection with all of those with whom God has destined you to connect to. And I think I've said this before, but it bears repeating, is that, I've heard this in a talk, I've read this before, and it's just like so apparent to me in my life, that like in just like witnessing to people and in my own life and just so many things, that the opposite of addiction is not sobriety, it's community or it's connection. And that, I mean, especially in our world, like addiction is so running so rampant to so many things, that's like often a big reason to be in despair, to lose all hope, so that I will never get out of this. I'm always this person. This thing controls my life, whatever it is. And if you feel like totally powerless about it, it's because you are. But that belief and the hope is that if you feel powerless, this thing is, whatever it is still powerless to God. Like God has all power over it. But it takes that reminder of by being connected to with him in prayer, or by being surrounded by other people who truly desire to support you. They see what's going on and they still desire to be there. That's a reason for hope. So that hope also, yeah, just like recovery or whatever it is, freedom. St. Paul says, it's for freedom, brothers, that Christ set us free. So don't use this freedom as like an excuse to fall back into whatever you're doing before. But like live in the freedom of the children of God. And in Romans, he connects freedom with hope. So yeah, whether it's recovery, freedom from any of those things that we struggle with, that hope is like the solution, it's the remedy, and it's born out of a connection to God and to other people.
Yeah.
That's what I got.
Yeah.
I don't know if you have anything you want to add to that or any final other thoughts that you would have, but.
Well, just one thing to kind of tie it back to the transcendentals that we always, we always do, you know, things that inspire hope are truth, are truthful, are beautiful, and are good, you know?
Yes.
So when we surround ourselves and we focus on that, you know, I don't know, like, I think those are good criteria for things. Like, do we want to be joyful, you know, in this year of Jubilee, you know? So just, I think those are good criteria, you know, think on things that are, you know, truthful, good and beautiful. And through that, we'll arrive at hope, and we'll stay anchored in that too. So, yeah, I don't think I have any other closing thoughts other than, you know, yeah, but thanks for talking on this, Brother Francisco. And I wish everybody a happy New Year's, and may your New Year's resolutions be more than a 7-day fad. It's good to commit to things. You know, I can't say I 100% stuck to my resolutions last year, but I can also say I felt like I did mostly stick to them. And, you know, perfection is rarely what we get. But it's also, you know, hoping that we're only going to get perfection is the enemy of good sometimes too. So
yeah, for sure.
Never be afraid to commit to something and try to see it through, even if there's some kerfuffles along the way.
Ooh, good word. Well, yeah, thanks, my dude. I appreciate that. I hope all of you listening experienced some reason to hope. If you want a reason to laugh, I would encourage you to check out our All Good in the Brotherhood's newest product, I guess you want to call it, The Pitch. So, our own creation is a card game that was designed mainly by Tom and by his lovely wife, Johanna. I had a little bit to do with it, but not much. We have copies of the game. There's a lot of people who have gotten it so far as Christmas gifts, but you know, it could always be just like that random gift you give to someone on President's Day or Valentine's Day or whatever. So if you're interested in finding a way to get a hold of a deck, you can leave a comment below. If you comment, The Pitch will message you directly to find it out. And if enough people do it, you know, we'll say maybe I'll pick a random person from the comments and you'll get a free copy. And yeah, we'll be hopefully having like maybe a GoFundMe for this too, but it's really fun. There's an episode we did about it, actually testing it. So, and we'll be doing a live stream. I'll announce a date soon, but we'll be doing a live stream, where we'll be playing this too. So hopefully that'll give you some incentive to get it. So, yeah, that's what I got with that. If you are interested in that, leave a comment. If you want to offer a word of hope to others, please do so, you know, make this a community. If you're looking for other reasons, you know, you're still in despair and you need some maybe greater tools for hope, you can check out this video where I speak about how monasticism and Benedictine spirituality can help you restore your hope. And if you want to check out this video, it's a fun podcast video that might not be directly on hope, but I think brings a lot of the joy that is connected to hope. So check these out too. And thanks and welcome to all of our new subscribers. We've had a lot in the last couple weeks. So welcome. I hope you've enjoyed today. And yeah, that's all I got.
All right. Take care, everyone.
Thanks, Tom.
Thanks, Brother Francisco.
Absolutely. Have a wonderful day. God bless.